All right. We're talking on the subject of possessing our inheritance. That's the overall topic title. But we're in this area we call manifesting the sons of God. I'm going to start reading here and start reading at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We're speaking on this subject of manifesting the sons of God, and I want to say a few things first, just as the recap. We said that when we say sons of God here, we're not talking about gender, not a male or a female. We're talking about mature offspring. And that we, you and I, are the offspring of God. That's who we are. Now, also the word manifest. Manifest is a word that means basically that it's already there. It's already there, meaning that you don't see it, so now you're waiting on it to manifest. It's already done. You're just waiting on it to manifest. And it's the same thing we talked about healing. That somebody's waiting on God to heal them. No, that's the wrong idea. And we turn to 2 Peter, come on over there again. 2 Peter chapter, all the way by the book of Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm so glad I'm saved. You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. Amen. You know when I'd get saved? Right now. This is no time to be unsaved. Okay, look at verse 1. Simon Peter, and servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I preached on that verse before. I said people are trying to get faith without a sense of righteousness. And it is tough to do. You get righteousness right, faith will flow like a flood. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has given us all things. What's left after all?
Nothing.
That pertain unto life and godliness. Does healing pertain to life?
Yes.
Okay. Has he given it to you?
Yes.
Okay. So the deal now is I need to learn how to manifest it. Because he's given it to me. He's given me victory. He's given me prosperity. I heard one man said, you have been made richer than you can imagine in your own imagination. I believe that. Because we are his offspring, right? He owns the universe. We're joint heirs with Christ. So you're not trying to get God to do something for you. He's already done it. And what we have to do is we have to renew our minds, because we have to not only talk these things in terms of the same tense that God has already done things in, but we have to believe like that. God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. Well, if you believe that God is going to heal you, you're in unbelief. God has already healed you. There is no future in God. So we sing songs, send the glory. Well, wait a minute. That violates Colossians chapter 2. The glory is already here. It's in you right now. Say amen to this. And please don't pass me by. Wait a minute. He's already in you. How's he going to pass you? Are you following what I'm saying now? So he's given us all things, not some things, all things. So these things are already done. Now, Jesus operated this way. So when he needed money, he had no sense of lack because God had given him all things. All he did was tell him where to go pick it up. Go fishing. Open the fish's mouth and get the money. And pay the taxes for me and you. I can guarantee you, boy, after that, boy, Peter, if a month later, he was opening every fish's mouth he ever probably caught, man. He's checking it out, say, hey, maybe there's some overflow over here somewhere, too. So you and I have to break into new realms of understanding. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for what? For lack of money. So we said the problem for people being poor is not that they don't have lack money. Not that they lack money. It's that they lack knowledge. And so what we said, now we have to go into growing up. As the body of Christ, we have to grow up because there are some things that God has for us, but he cannot give to us beyond our level of growth. That there is an inheritance for you, but it will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. And we found that over in Galatians chapter 4, and you don't need to turn there, please. Galatians chapter 4, and he said basically that there's, as an heir, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. And the Amplified says, of Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, though he is the master of the whole estate. So you're the master of the whole estate. You're the master of the whole estate. Jesus took back everything Satan took and conned Adam out of and Eve in the fall. Jesus took it all back. So he's got it all back. The earth is yours. That's why you have to get on people about earning a living. See, when they come into kingdom, unrenewed mind says, I'm trying to earn a living. Well, that's a wrong thinking. That's not thinking like God. Because if you are joint heir with Christ. Raise your hand if you're a joint heir. Okay? You're a joint heir with Christ. Now, if you're a joint heir with him, and he has inherited the entire estate. When I say estate, I mean the earth, folks. I'm talking about from the surface down to the core. Every diamond mine, every coal mine, everything that is in this earth, every resource, everything. Jesus now legally got it back. Now watch this. You are a joint heir with him. He is the head and you are the body. You cannot separate them. It's just that he can't give us certain things because we can't receive it. See, Adam's wealth was not things, it was knowledge and wisdom. And so you can't receive it. Jesus said, there's a lot of things I want to give you, but you can't receive them now. Until light comes, struggle continues. See, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is a knowledge that has to be attained for you to get those things. Jesus said, hey, a son of foxes have holes, birds of hair have nests, son of man have no place to lay his head. So no place to download, no place to actually pass on the revelation that's needed for us to be able to possess things. Remember what he said in Deuteronomy 29:29? He said, Deuteronomy 29:29. Put it up on the board, please. The things that are I'm waiting on the guys to put it up. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are what?
Revealed.
Keep going. Belong to us. Yeah. Got it?
Amen.
So anything that's revealed means light came on it. You can't get it unless it's got some light. Does this make sense to you? He said, through the knowledge of God, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of God. What is knowledge? What kind of knowledge you think that is?
Revelation.
That's revelation. Reveal things that are revealed.
Amen.
See? Unless you can see it, you can't get it. God told Abraham, as far as Abraham, this is Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 15. He said, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you. Let's turn it around. If you can't see it, I'm not going to give it to you.
Go ahead.
Are you following what I'm saying? Where are we right now? Okay, what did I have you? Second Peter. All right, look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. You got it? Say praise the Lord. Look at verse 1. Now Jericho is straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what? What is the next word after the word Joshua?
See,
I have given into thy hand what?
Jericho.
And the what?
King thereof.
And the what?
Mighty men of valor.
Question. At that point, had Joshua taken physically Jericho?
No.
Nope, he hadn't marched around it yet. But what did God say? Say, see it. See, once you see it, revelation, yeah, you see it done. Now you can take ownership. See, revelation brings faith. Faith is a title. Faith is a title deed. And that's something that's foreign to folks today because they don't own anything. They don't own the house. They own the cars, you know, so forth and so on. Now that's going to change. That's going to change, see. But they don't own much, you know. They don't have the slip that says, I own it. If I want to give it away, I can give it away. But what happens now, the bank owns it. Now, we got riding around, kind of a false prosperity, looking out the window, waving at people, hey, girl. And watch this. And maybe behind in three payments. Now, the snatch man is on his way. They don't know that, but he's coming. Okay. Now, my point to you is that ownership, see, ownership, when God puts you in this earth, he puts you here as an owner. When you got born into this kingdom of God, you became a citizen of the kingdom. And one of the jobs that you had is to enforce this kingdom over the entire earth. And anything that's in this earth that's not lined up with the kingdom, you have not only the authority, but the ability to put it back in line. You got it? No matter where you are. Now, in terms of ownership, where there is no ownership, there is no outrage. Did you get that? Where there is no ownership, there is no outrage. Somebody comes and they get a coat off the back of the chair here and start walking out with it. And you're sitting right there. And you see it, you know. And then somebody comes back and says, where's my coat? Says, somebody just got that coat and walked out. What? And they come running out. Now, you didn't move. Because you don't own it. And the reason why you don't move on this earth with some of the mess that's going on in here is because you still have no revelation of the fact that you own it. Amen. Now, you believe that.
Amen.
And when you own it, you got a different attitude. I like what David did. He ran to that front line and he brought him some food and so forth. And then he heard this giant cursing their gods and talking about them and talking about their mama and everything. And he said, hey, what? Well, he didn't talk about that, but whatever. And he said, you know, what's going on here? He said, well, they're all fearful. The Philistine. Now, understand, they were covenant people. They were covenant people, and God said, every battle you enter into, you're going to win it. But they were right back dug in them foxholes and told David. And when David, he said, well, now, wait a minute, is there not a cause? I mean, do you not get upset when this many young people are getting pregnant? You're not upset yet when this many black men are going in prison? Are you not upset yet? You're phone saying, this is what he's saying. But if you own this earth, you will say enough is enough. I own this. You're not going to come in my house and play that kind of music because I own this. This is mine here. Say amen to that. And you have a different attitude. Remember, a slave won't fight. That's what makes him like he is. Don't ever forget that. A slave won't fight. That's what he said here. Let me read it again. Galatians chapter 4. Turn on over there with me. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm gonna give it to you. Because I ain't no punk preacher. I'm going to give it to you right there where you need it at. I'm going to give it right there between the eyes so you won't miss it. Because we make all these excuses and sing all these songs, all this religion taking place. But what's being done? Nothing. And we're going to change that. Starting now. What you don't know is that you don't need to get in there and physically fight anybody. You don't need to do that. All you do is fight the good fight of faith. All you do is decree things. You run up in there and say, this is not going to happen in here no more. I bind those spirits right now that are operating in this zone. You won't do it in here no more. I'm telling you. And when you bind, God binds. And you permit it, you say, I'm going to let you operate, then God will let it operate.
Yes.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king, the ruler, the strong man over that whole area I have given you. Now, do what I tell you to do to receive it.
Yes.
Amen. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we just need some backbone.
Yes.
Telling you, man, we didn't have enough of them old sugar daddy Twinkie sermons. And that thing ain't got no strength to them. You need somewhere where you can grit and buck your teeth and I mean, just something, you know, wake something up inside of you that's been sitting there all the time. Say amen to that. Look what it says here, and I'm just read this again. Now, verse 1, I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, if nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. I'll read it out of the Amplified. Now, what I mean is this, that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is underage, he differs nothing from a slave, though he is a master of the whole estate. This estate is yours, man. We're going to take this thing. Tell you, there's some fresh winds blowing from the north. All right. Now, where am I? Okay. So what I said, there were three groups of people, three categories. One was the natural man. And I told you to turn to 2 Corinthians, pardon me. Now, that's just before Galatians, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter... 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Come on now. I want to get somewhere with this. I got 11 minutes and 22 seconds, so don't bother me. I mean, I'm going right through with it. You follow what I'm saying? When I say don't bother me, it means don't sleep. Because I just may point you out. Amen. And I mean, don't close your eyes too long either. Because I may catch you with your eyes closed too long. Well, I'll just rest in my eyes. No, you weren't. You were asleep. And you were asleep on my best material. And I will not have that. Yeah, up in here. Okay, praise God. All right, look what it says here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What we said about the natural man is that the natural man runs by his senses, his or her senses. And those things of God are foolishness to the natural man. So don't be sitting up there arguing with a person who is unsaved. Well, I want you to just tell me, how do you know it's a God? Now, how do you know? How do you tell me? And ask them, say, are you saved? No, I'm not saved. Well, I'm not going to answer that. Why? Well, it just will engender more unbelief. You cannot come up with enough answers to answer that. So you got natural people putting movies on movies and television and whatnot, trying to interpret what God and so forth, and well, God, you know, and so forth, and you see him, and the priest gets across, and then the lady's head spins around, and spits out some stuff, and so forth, all this interpretation. All right, now you can get mad at me if you want to. I don't care today, because I'm going home after this. Okay. All right. Next one was carnal man. Okay. No natural person, by the way, is stronger than the devil. Remember that. The carnal man, the next one, and mankind I'm talking about, is a born-again person, but not spiritually developed, not developed. And they're controlled pretty much by the circumstances, by the feelings. And so that's why in their babyhood all the time, they just kind of stay there, because one of the things that you need to get you out of all of that is you need the Word of God. And so what happens is, you know, they fuss a lot and a lot of strife and jealousies and so forth and so on. And you need to get out of that, because those things are designed to rob you of the inheritance that God has for you. Say amen to that. So the third one, of course, and this natural carnal person, remember, how many days did the children of Israel have to have miracles in the wilderness? Every day. So a carnal person lives by miracles. Why? Because he lives in a crisis all the time. There's crisis all the time. A spiritual person, however, is different. That spiritual person is a person who's gained ascendancy over his or her own body and physical senses. So they're not moved by what they see or things that happen, but they're moved by what they believe. So they believe the Word of God, and without sense evidence, they walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So they're in command of their emotions. They do not let themselves get emotionally distraught. I don't care how bad things are. Remember when they were going over to the other side and that storm came up? How many of y'all remember that? Well, when that storm came up, remember what happened is they fell apart. They even accused Jesus of not even caring about them. And you know that wasn't true. So a spiritual person is a person who is basically is not walking by sight. They're walking by faith. All right. Now, lack of right teaching is one of the main reasons why the church has failed to grow. Now, This next thing I want to take you to, because I'm going to whip right on through this. I want to end up with something. Let's go to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. All right, John chapter 5. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we're still talking about growing up, because that's the key. That's the thing that we have to do. The church, you've heard me say it before, is the most powerful institution in the world ever. I'll never forget that. Remember what he said, upon this rock I'll build my what? Church. And the gates of what? Hell shall not what? Prevail against us. So the gate of hell cannot even stop the forward progress of the church. Now, remember what I said about also the church. When we hear the word church, we think of something religious. But that's not what the disciples heard when they heard church. Because that was the first time Jesus had used that term. He said, church. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, up until that time, I don't have a recollection in the Bible of him ever speaking and saying church. He talked about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, so forth and so on. But he never mentioned church. Now, what we said church was is the Greek word ekklesia, which has to do with called out ones, or it has to do with governing a ruling body. So we said it's the Greek or the Roman when they have a senate, and that senate is filled with elected officials. Now, you are elected of God. You are chosen by God. Now, in here, you come for a senate meeting. So we're coming in here to hear the word of God. And while I'm talking to you, the Holy Ghost is talking to you at the same time. So now you're downloading from God. Why? Because he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of who? Lord. So once you leave here, you go back out to your designated territories, and then you take rulership over those territories. Anything that's out of line with heaven's laws and heaven's principles, then we have the authority and ability to bring it back in line. Say amen to that. All right. Now, okay. Now, they didn't hear religion. They heard ruling or governing body. And it's a political governing body. So that's what they heard. All right. Now, with that, and I told you, it's very key that we get the paradigm right. Lord have mercy. It's very key that we get the paradigm right. Now, here's why I say that. A paradigm is the way you see something. It's a pattern. You remember? And it's a deeply held assumption or values and the way we operate. It's a model that's in our minds. It's a template. It's a pattern. It's a map of the mind, a paradigm. It's a way we see things because of our culture, because of the context by which we see things in. Now, what Jesus said is, God said, is my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your what? Ways my ways. Now, why would he say that? Because in this paradigm, if you're going to change your behavior, then you're going to have to change your paradigm or your mental map. If you try to change your behavior without changing the map, then your paradigm eventually overpowers your change and brings you back to the way you used to act. Got it? Because for a true change to take place, you've got to change the map out of which your behavior flows. A man wrote a book on a billionaire. He said, for you, if you think like a billionaire, your life has no choice but to produce it. Just as simple as that. Just change your thinking. That means the subconscious in here. You got to change this map. Now, I'm not talking about conscious thinking. You just came in here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm a billionaire. And now, nothing in here has changed. If this map, I understand, I'm not just talking about billionaires or money. I'm talking about change your behavior towards your wife or husband. I'm talking about anything, because when you were raised in that house, maybe they fought all the time. Then that mental map has written maybe inside of you. And so what I'm saying, for you to change your relationship and change your action or behavior, you need to change the map. One minute, 38 seconds. Okay, all right, I got a little more time. Okay, don't panic. Now, okay. So here's the deal. John chapter 5. Did I tell you to turn there?
Yes.
All right. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep market was a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk that were blind, halt, withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered and said, "I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another stepping down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And Jesus and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is not lawful," no, "it is a Sabbath day, and it's not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk." All right. I want you to leave that and go with me over to Romans, and Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. Just follow me. I said one of the reasons why people are remaining in babyhood is they lack right teaching. Now, since knowledge preaching does not make faith. Watch this. Verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Paul preached the word of faith. The word of faith is not designed to make sense. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. Here is the gospel. Tomorrow, about this time, you are going to be a millionaire. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 7, that's what that amounted to. And a man came up to the prophet who said that and said, "Wait a minute, if God would open up heaven himself, there is no way that these people's lives can be changed economically that quickly, that much." Why? Because he put it in his mind. And first place, the mind has limitations. Faith has no limitations. And he put it in his mind, and once he put it in his mind,
he began to try to logically, intellectually figure out how God was going to do this. And his mind came to tilt. It said, uh-uh, won't happen. And what did he do? He spit it out his mouth. That is called unbelief. Now, Paul preached the word of faith. He didn't preach something that you can accept with your mind. He said, my speech and my preaching are not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and a power, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He wasn't interested in whether you could figure it out logically. Because if your mind ever grabs it and starts its work with it, remember, no faith comes out of your head. You cannot get your inheritance. That inheritance is going to be above your mind. So, would you like to be made whole? See? And what did he say to him? Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Now, that was something beyond what this man was able to do for 38 years. But this time the man didn't take it in his mind. He took it in his heart. And first thing, before you can stand up on the outside, you're going to have to stand up on the inside. And faith is the thing that makes you do it. Now, what has the church been trying to do? The church has been trying to intellectually organize all this. They have been trying to do this, born again, but trying to do it the world's way and through the processes of the mind. Folks, wait a minute. Your mind is the last thing that gets a hold of it. The first thing that gets a hold of it is your spirit. Say amen to that. And the whole world is waiting on the manifestation, come on, of the sons of God. That means they're waiting on answers that cannot come through the mind, because if they could come through the mind, the world would have figured it out. But it cannot come through the mind. It has to come through the spirit, and you're the only ones that can download it from the head and make it a solution in this earth. You can fix any problem in the earth. God told me to tell those people in England, I'll never forget it. I preached over there, and he said, tell them this, that they can be a millionaire in a month. Have you ever heard the expression, the devil's in the details? That's what it's talking about. No. When Adam was to name the animals, where did he get the name from? God. How did he get them? He downloaded. He just received. You don't need the details. Are you with me here? I'm not saying anything's wrong with education, but if education is all you got and you're competing against the world, wait a minute, honey. They went to the same Harvard University you went to. They had the same instructors that you had. How are you going to get the same learning and the same wisdom that they got and whip them? You're not. What you need to do is step up a little higher. You need to get that and put some super on it, and you'll have answers that they never came up with, and you'll confound your teachers. Are y'all following me, what I'm saying? No. Daniel, the three Hebrews, were found to be 10 times better than all the best magicians in the world. You're to be 10 times better. Well, you just can't get there going to the same school and having the same course and having the same instructor they had. You got to have the same instructor they had plus another instructor. Are y'all following what I'm saying? God tells me to do something. I just got to obey God. I got to say, okay, God, okay, praise God, I'm going to do it. He said, Joshua, I want you to march around this building. March around here one time, for 6 days, and the seventh day, march around here 7 times. I suppose Joshua said, now, why am I going to go do that, boss? I mean, I don't understand. Now, tell me why would I do that? See, the devil's in the details. Just what did God tell you to do, and just do that. Say amen to this. That's where we're living, folks. Does this make sense to you? All right, let's go a step further. Let's go with me. See, Jesus was introducing a new kingdom. This kingdom was so radical until John the Baptist, who saw Jesus coming, who had revelation, who said, behold, the Lamb of God, even when he got put in prison, he sent his runners to check it out and said, wait a minute, go see if this is the same man. Ask him, let's say, is it he that was going to come or should we look for another? He began to doubt. Why? Because Jesus was doing things that was unorthodox, if I could use that expression. He was choosing leaders. He didn't go to the synagogue, to the boys who had the high hats and the big garments on. He went to a man that was stealing tax money and was going to make a world leader out of him. That's how powerful the kingdom is. You can take a person who has been bad, a background, he's done this and stole that and in jail that and that, but Jesus can take him and lift him up and make a king out of him. God is an originator. Satan isn't. That's why he comes to the church to steal the persons and people who have the giftings. He steals them. He gets them. They were brought up in the church and sing songs of Zion and voices just as beautiful. And the next thing you know, they're gone. He offered them a better deal. Come out here. I can make you some money. So forth and so on. And he left the church and the church said, boy, all our talent. Well, see, the enemy can't originate. He has to get folks that already got it. Okay. But God can put an anointing on somebody else.
Oh, Sunday.
You see what I'm saying? God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. God can, I'm telling you, this is God you're talking about. This is that same boy that made F's in school. Now he's making all A's. This is a... No, y'all got me preaching here. Oh, yeah. All right. Last place. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah chapter 60. Oh, yeah. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Well, you know, Pastor, when I found the Lord, wait, let me correct you. He wasn't lost. you got that thing backwards there. He wasn't lost here. You was lost as a goose in a fog. And God came and got you and saved you, pulled you off of them drugs. Got you so that you can go to work without a little hit of reefer. Come on now, I'm reading your mail now. I know you're born again now. You're healthy, wealthy, and wise. But you know, and he's not done with you yet. He's still cleaning. And see, what happens, he wants you to move by faith because faith purifies you.
Amen.
You can't walk by faith and go home and fuss all night.
No.
You know you can't. You go somewhere, I'm telling you, my wife, you know, I remember one time I was kind of, you know, upset about something. I said, well, why you do that? I mean, this guy did that to me. I said, what do you think about the guy? She said, oh, sweetheart, I can't say nothing. Now I'm believing for something. I said, believing for something? You see what I'm saying? She wasn't going to contaminate her heart with mess because faith will purify you. You over that man's house at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know you better go home, and you know y'all ain't married and so forth and so on. You believing for something? You say, well, sweet, I better go now. I'm believing for something. It's 1 o'clock at night. Come on now. You don't want nothing. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to now? Okay, where did I tell you to turn real quick? Okay. I need, okay, all right. Let me bring this to a close. Just hang on just 1 minute. That song is just still ringing in me, praise God. Shonda. All right. So, now, what is happening in this earth right now? We are it. Now, when I say that, I mean all this that was written is now coming together in our generation. We're it. We're the ones that he's been waiting on. The signs are there. The time is right. Now, this is a piece that I want you to get because I'm about to preach something up here. Verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. My God. hold on just a minute. I wanted to get some. Where did I put my paper here? Where's Shonda? Just a minute. I don't need it. I just wanted it. Yeah, there it is. I have this stuff. I'm getting all these papers together, getting ready to preach. This is what my wife does. She'll look in there and see all them papers. She'll come back in a little while talking about, sweetheart, you don't have to preach all of it today. I want to preach it all, praise God. I want to let it all come out. No, I'm just about done. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now, vengeance doesn't have to do with somebody being mad. It has more to do with justice. Got it? Now, let's go back and we're going to see this. And let's go and look at Genesis. It's this place I want to take you real quick. Genesis chapter 15. Just look at this. This will take about 3 minutes. Oh no, some people got to go. I just don't want to. I don't want to keep them. I don't want them to get out and say cruel things about me. Say amen to that. Now, I don't want them to, but if they want to, I just have to let them say it. Because I just may have to keep y'all here to dinner. No, I won't. Okay, let me know when you get there. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Got it? Now go to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. In a minute, when you get to Exodus chapter 3. All right, now, in Exodus chapter 3, he says here, verse 19, this is God speaking to Moses. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No. Not by a what? Mighty hand. And I'll stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will what? He let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go how? Empty. But every woman, Lord have mercy, pick the women, shall borrow of her neighbors and of the soul that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing, raiment, good clothing. How many of y'all ever heard of Egyptian broadcloth before? Good stuff. And ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall what? Spoil the Egyptians. What does the word spoil mean, somebody? It means what? It means to strip. Strip. Okay? It means they're left with nothing. Spoil. Now, notice what God said. He's repeating what he told Moses, Abram. And he said, hey, they're going to be in bondage this long, but there is a set time, 400 years, and they're coming out of there. And when they come out, he added the fact that they'll not come out empty. But they're going to come out with the gold and the silver and the clothes. And they will spoil the Egyptians. Anything of any value is going to be transferred. Now, this is key. Because they couldn't get a loose. Some of them may have tried to get a loose. If it's anything like slavery in this country, some people may have tried to escape, but other slaves went and told on them. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, here's the key. The enemy is using spiritual forces to win. All kinds of forces are still assisting the Gentiles to win. Now, we are not mad at people. Because when we say we're not taking sides but taking over, we're taking over from the devil. You see, God is not running the world. Satan is the god of this world, but God is running the church, and the church is going to be running Satan. But the only thing we got to do is grow up. All right, now you hear what I'm saying. We told you in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God said he's going to give Joshua the land, and he said he's going to give him victory over the Hittites, over the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than Joshua. And then God said this, he'll deliver them before Joshua, and Joshua will smite them. So notice, they're too strong for natural man. Because people think many times they're only in this world facing a person. But that's not true. If that person's helping to keep Satan's system in place, Satan is backing that person. And Satan now is assisting them through demonic spirits. And a place that you can see that very plainly is places, glory to God. Can I show you one place? Turn to Numbers chapter 22, please. Numbers chapter 22. Give me three, 4 more minutes. Can you do that? I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I hate to leave you right here. Because your money is in here. I'm about to turn to your money right now. All right. Look what it says now. Look what it says now. Verse 2. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done unto the Amorites. Coming down. Verse 5. And he sent messengers therefore to Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and do what to them? Curse me, this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail. And I'm telling you, there are people that get up early in the morning and work for the devil and send out curses. And because God's people just been babies and just nagging at each other and talking about what each other's dressing and so forth and so on, and the enemy is busy just taking control. And things are happening that never should have happened. You should have had that building by now. You should have had that apartment complex by now. Come on. You should have had. Oh, yeah. It should have happened. And because we've been dull of senses, we haven't even perceived that those things were there for us. And that enemy has been using, he's been sending out curses. What was Balak trying to get Balaam to do? Send out those curses, because when he sends them out, demons go with him. And demons need authorization just like God needs authorization. And so they go out, and when they go out, they trouble the people of God. Or they distract you by doing something with your daughter or getting your son in trouble or so forth and so on. Sure, they've been sent out. But there are more with us than be with them. Glory to God. This is what I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but that's found over in 2 Kings chapter 6. And that's when Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian army. Why was he surrounded by the Syrian army? Because he was giving away secrets to Israel as to how the Syrians were going to attack. I'm telling you, the devil knows that just like he has used outside forces to gain victory, he knows you have more outside forces than he does. That you can know what he's going to do before he ever does it. Are you following what I'm saying? And God will give you wisdom as to how to do something. And you think you're just going around something, taking the long way around. No, he's guiding you around a minefield that was just set up right there. But because you are mature and you're led by the Spirit and not by your flesh, you're going to take the long way around. God's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your sides. He's the one that's going to promote you. Your boss is not going to promote you, if he don't want to promote you, God will remove him and promote you anyway. They saw that Syrian army came by night and surrounded a man of God, and his servant got up the next morning in panic when he saw all those Syrian armies. He said, wait a minute, what are we going to do now, boss? He said, listen, there be more with us than be with them. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, I don't care how bad it looks in your situation. Don't you get your mouth moving the wrong way. You just say, the God that I serve, he shall deliver me. Because he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. There are more that be with us than be with them, that he guides me into all the truth. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about. So now what's happening? Vengeance. Now Pharaoh won't let him go. Well, God told him to let him go, but he wouldn't. The first thing you happen is now Pharaoh has an economic drought. Then the next thing that happened, the water got contaminated. Then the next thing, all these things trying to get Pharaoh to let him go. But Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And I'm telling you, there have been spirits that have been resisting your progress. Watch this. Now he's out of time. We have come to the set time, because all that Bible was written about you. You can check it out. Everything that should be accumulated in the Old Testament, everything that should be laid down, everything that should be put in place is put in place right now, and God is not going to miss this moment. I'm telling you right now, something is about to happen. So what happened now? They had this situation and they wouldn't let him go. So God said, here's what I want you to do. Go up there and get the jewels. Go get the gold. Go get the clothes. Tell him you'll give it back to him as soon as you get done with it. He said, but come on out of town with me. Go leave town. Now, I'm not telling anybody to do this. I'm just saying God had him to get those things, and then he marched them out of town. When he marched them out of town, Pharaoh came after him. But in the middle of the Red Sea, the Bible says God troubled the wheels on the chariots of the Egyptians. If you know anything about Egyptian chariots, they were some of the finest chariot makers. Even Solomon bought chariots from them, and horses, Arabian horses. Now, I'm here to tell you right now that God, who's ever chasing you, is about to trouble them. Who has ever, you better hear what I'm saying. Now, what am I doing? I'm preaching up here. Now, you don't necessarily need to believe this with your mind. Just receive it with your spirit. What happened? The waters folded up, closed up Pharaoh. Now, understand. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. Pharaoh was trying to get him back. So he had to end up taking Pharaoh off the earth. Now, he didn't want to do that. But I'm telling you right now, whatever is standing in your way of you fulfilling the plan of God for your life, I announce to you today, the vengeance of the Lord is about to deal with it. And they will trouble you, come on, no more. I'm announcing it now. I'm the preacher. All you got to do is believe. Now, I want you to see a couple of more things. They had debts, didn't they? But what happened to the debt when Pharaoh got wiped out? I'm telling you, there is a north wind coming in the church. And it is about to sweep through the church and cancel every debt that the people of God have. Now, I know some people are not excited about this because you're either not grown up or you're being bound by something that's not the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you right now, this is a message for today. But not only is God going to have vengeance, but recompense is coming. Now, recompense means that God is going to restore, watch this, or pay back everything you lost in the journey. Every time you didn't get paid, every time you were laid off your job, every time, I'm telling you, every time you were in the hospital and paid the bill, everything is going to come back to you now. I don't believe it's just going to come back for you. I think you can go back to generations in the past. Your mama, if she didn't get paid. Your granddaddy, if he didn't get paid. Everything is coming back to you now. I'm speaking it, you believe it, and we'll see it manifested. Seen this before? Because it hasn't been preached. It's got to be preached. How can they hear without a preacher? I've got to preach it first. Folks, your days of struggling, your days of hoping things are going to work out, your days right now of the enemy holding you back are over. You are breaking forth today. Satan will resist you no longer. Every force of hell that's been sitting on your destiny, it's time for release. And if it does not release you, it will be removed. I spoke it. That's it. Give the Lord a shout for it. That's done. That's done. Sit down. Take a seat for a minute. I really believe that there's a value attached to everything. Has a value attached. You had kids and got in trouble and spent some time in cars or whatever. There's a value on that. There's $1 billion on that. Then there's another thing that happened to you. There's $500 million on that. I'm telling you, folks, we about to see the biggest wealth transfer. God keeps numbers. He's just looking for somebody to say, restore. Restore. Ha ha. It's your season. It's a set time. Now, whoo, Lord. Don't be concerned if somebody beside you is not excited about this. That's because they have no revelation. There's no light coming in there. Now, I'm going to serve communion, and I think this is very fitting because we're going to take communion over what I just preached. We gonna seal this thing up. We gonna seal this thing up today. Now, before we do that, somebody in here is not saved. Whoever you are, God brought you here to be saved. So whoever that is, I want to pray with you right now. Do the same thing that every one of us did. Get up out of your chair, come up here and stand with me right now.